Okay, so thank you all for being here today. I hope that you are just being filled up with the Lord and just get ready to walk this out. I'm not sure anyone comes to a retreat or a conference on spiritual disciplines, so I am deeply encouraged to see you all here today. For those who don't know me, my name is Lindsay Overly, and this is not my first time speaking on this, but I don't see anybody, so it'll be your first time hearing it. But I will start us off in a word of prayer. Abba, as I look at all these women and this time we are sharing together, I praise you. I praise you as the good shepherd who tenderly leads his flock. I praise you for the sacrifice of your son Jesus, who has brought us into peace with you, who is the living water that we may never thirst, and who is the source of life. Lord, you know each one of us, and exactly what you need, we need, you will provide. May our hearts be attuned to you. May you pour out your Holy Spirit to transform us and to conform us into the image of your Son. May we be willing vessels, and all that we have to offer be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pray for nerves too. So, what are we doing here? What is the purpose of spiritual disciplines? I believe it is to know God, to grow in our intimacy with Him, and be rooted and transformed for His glory and grace to be displayed for all to see Jesus and perhaps be drawn to Him as well. God's Word is infallible, incapable of being wrong, so it is our number one trustworthy way to hear Him and to know without a doubt when He is speaking to us. We have His Word to be the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now, when we pray God's Word back to Him, something amazing happens. We get to know what is on our Father's heart. It ignites our affections for Him. It helps form our hearts to love what He loves and to hate what He hates. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it pierces our hearts and it changes our ways. So John Piper has a quote that says, "For me, it is absolutely essential that my prayer be guided by, saturated by, and sustained and controlled by with the Word of God." So it is only fitting to begin with Psalm 119. Verse 11 reads, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Friends, there is a fight going on in the territory of our hearts and our minds. For our friends' hearts, for our children's hearts. We are to love God with our whole mind, our whole heart, and our whole soul. Yet why am I so prone to wander? What did Jesus use when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness? Scripture. So how much more do we need this sword of the Spirit? And how can we stand firm and bear with one another? Prayer. Prayer is one of the only things that is available instantly. Scripture memory is another amazing thing to have on your tool belt. What a privilege we have that we are invited to the throne room of God. We can commune with the very creator of the universe, and you will never be caught without this ability. So as I said, there are spiritual battles occurring everywhere, but what about the battles that are going on in our minds? Do you think repressing them is diffusing them adequately? What does it look like to take every thought captive to Christ? Praying scripture can combat depression, anxiety, fear, self-doubt, and lies, all with God's truth. We get to battle with the sword of the Spirit. What did Judy Wixon say? The Rama. In conjunction with the shield of faith, the enemy and the flesh and the world have no place in this fight. But as Becca was praying earlier, I was thinking, she said, as we were singing, "Be still and know that I am God." Mm-hmm. I was like, I have all this prepared on how to fight. I'm like, okay. So, scripture talks about saying, "Be still, and I will go fight for you." I believe that's Exodus 14:14. "You may only have to be still, and I will fight for you." So how can we stand? How can we know the promises of God, God's word, and stand in that truth with our brothers and sisters? How can we trust in that? Then Pam was talking about examining your fruit. So if some of our fruit is anxiety, some of our fruit is worry, some of our fruit is fear, what is the opposite? What are our healthy ways that we should be displaying that we are connecting with God, that we are walking in a manner worthy or pleasing to Him, as we read in Colossians? What is walking in a way that is pleasing to Him? God says in Hebrews 11 that our faith is what is pleasing to Him. What about when we are walking through trials? What about when we're walking through hardship? How are we going to take these different circumstances through the ups and the downs, through the what we don't see, the uncertainty of the day? And how are we going to trust when we don't see our next step? We can trust the Lord in every single step we take. And we are just, and like many of you were in Judy Whitson's class, like she was saying, we just want to know the answers. We want to know what the next step is going to hold. But how can we stand firm in faith of what God has already said? That's why we get to have faith and trust in the promises of the Lord and in what Scripture says. So praying Scripture is what can hold us to that, what can keep us from floundering. So in when we feel like we're overwhelmed,
nobody knows the camera. I just
get so awkward around the camera. When life seems overwhelming and I feel like I'm drowning, I can pray Isaiah 43. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel." So how do I stand firm in a passage like that, that's talking about flames, that's talking about being overwhelmed with drowning? The Lord your God will be with you. Yeah. And I was reading this book that was pretty convicting, and so this is the rogue part, faith. This is the book Humility by C.J. Mahaney. 1 Peter 5:6 through 7 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." And then he shows us how casting all of your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. So he says, "I've discovered how true that it is about myself and my soul. When there is worry, when there is anxiousness, pride is the root of all of it. And when I'm experiencing anxiety, the root issue is that I'm trying to be self-sufficient and I'm acting independent of God." So that is something that requires repentance and submission. And then the Lord, as the Isaiah, Isaiah says, "I will keep you in perfect peace, those whose mind is fixed on me." So we must come back under submission. "For though He is opposed to our pride, He gives grace to the humble." And when I am afraid, I can pay Psalm 91 and find refuge under my Father's wings. How comforting is that? In any circumstance, in any situation, I can take my eyes off of those circumstances and fix my eyes on Him, the maker and the perfecter of my faith. So God is capable. He is all sufficient. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." Did you hear that? God is faithful, and He will get you through it. He will provide the way of escape. We just must surrender to Him, submit to Him, and keep our eyes fixed on Him. Instead of keeping our eyes fixed on ourselves, our circumstances. Actually, Judy Whitson was talking about going through cancer and how her husband heard this one time, that God has entrusted him with cancer. Mm-hmm. Entrusted you with cancer. Mm-hmm. So that means I'm going to be glorifying to God in my present circumstances. God wouldn't give us more than we can handle. So how are we going to be glorified to Him? Instead of just wanting to pray ourselves out of a certain situation, we can ask, how can we be praying in this circumstance? How can I walk through this in a manner that is pleasing to You, Father? So But if we're being honest, what keeps us from praying? Sometimes we just not feel like it. Or maybe we don't know what to say, or maybe we get bored with the same thing over and over. Donald Whitney, in Praying the Bible, which is a book that I read for this, since the last time I taught it and for this now, he says, when we have to compel ourselves to pray, our prayers become joyless. Our mind wanders and minutes can feel like hours, and we can feel like spiritual failures. Is that why God invented prayer? So that you feel like spiritual failures? Do you think he wants us to feel defeated in our prayer? Like how we get to talk to the Lord? On the contrary, I think the Lord wants us to delight in it. Delight in speaking to him just the way he delights in talking to us. So now let's talk about some ways, some of the many tools and the methods that praying scripture, and a few of them we will actually put into practice today, if you guys are up for it. It can be as easy as when you're reading your Bible, pausing and praying, either praying a verse or praying over the entire passage. You can write it down on a flashcard and take it with you throughout your day. You can journal a verse. So write a verse and then journal about it. I have verses. Okay, new house. Yet to do that. I have to get it approved by my roommates. Verses taped up everywhere of what I'm currently praying through. So right now it's a lot of fear of the Lord. So that's why I was like, I don't know if that would be as scary for them to just see you. Specifically the one in 1 Peter that says, live with fear during your stay here. I was like, I don't know if Carmen and Deborah would feel great about that. Like, is that for me? Or? But anyways, we can set alarms on our phones for prayer. So for example, 9:36, Matthew 9:36 is a prayer for laborers, for God's kingdom. Perhaps 11:13, which in Luke 11:13 is a prayer for more of the Holy Spirit. So there's just a couple ways. Praying the names of God and the attributes of God with scripture, which is so intimate. God's names are just so beautiful, and as we just heard also, is there's promises attached to God's names. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. So a few of the methods I'd like to practice today are praying the Psalms, personalizing or inserting names in Scripture, praying the promises of God, and then meditating on Scripture. So praying a Psalm. In Hebrew, Psalms means book of praises. And it was the songbook of the people of Israel. The Psalms were inspired by God for the purpose of being sung back to God. Ephesians, Colossians, Acts all mention singing psalms and spiritual songs. And our own Jesus cried out Psalm 22 as he, our Messiah, was crucified. So the book that I read on praying the Bible says, have you considered the Psalms from this perspective? That is, for our good and his glory, God wants us to praise him. But we have no way of knowing what sort of praises are worthy of our glorious God. So he revealed in the Psalms the praises that express the yearnings his spirit produces in us, and which are appropriate for and consistent with his glory. And as we pray the Psalms, therefore we are returning to God, words that he has expressly inspired for us to speak and sing to him. So Donald Whitney then shares a systematic approach to how to pray a psalm a day. You take 30 seconds and quickly scan 5 specific songs, psalms, and pick the one that best leads you to prayer on that occasion. It is based on taking 150 psalms and dividing them for 30 days. So for example, today's the 16th, so it'll be, we can choose Psalm 16. We could choose Psalm 46, Psalm 76, Psalm 106, and Psalm 136. It's been really sweet to then. It's amazing how at least one of them applies to a major concern going on in our hearts. God inspired a psalm for every sigh of the soul with the entirety of human emotion. So you won't have to read very far before you find the words becoming your words and their heart expressing your heart. So let's test it out. I would like you to get in Let's do groups of three or four, and then we will break out into a psalm, pray the psalm. Now, you don't have to pray if you don't want to pray. This isn't a time where we're going to make the beautiful, elongated prayers, you know. It's just so that we can put to practice, because generally it's best if we put to practice something immediately. Another way I read through the Gospel Coalition is when you're praying through a psalm, you can rejoice, repent, and request. So those three R's in case that helps you guys.
Rejoice,
repent, and request. So I was thinking, the original psalm that I really enjoyed praying through that we prayed through last time is Psalm 103. It's just bless the Lord, O my soul. So David, praying to his soul to love the Lord more. But Psalm 46 is a great one, and that happens to be one of the ones we would choose for the day, 1646.
So we pick a verse from...
Yeah, so, I'm sorry, I should probably mention how we're going to do this. That wasn't in my notes. So you'll go stanza by stanza, or you can do, if it's a long psalm, you can do verse 1 and 2, and you'll just read and then popcorn prayer through it. So, one prayer at a time, and generally not long, so you're able to get through the psalm depending on which one you choose. Does that make sense? Anybody have any questions?
So, Psalm 146, and we pick
Psalm 46
or 40.
Psalm 103.
Okay.
I can give you an example. I'll do an example for you guys. So, this is the psalm I chose last time because I'm not a quick thinker. So, for example, Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. So I would pray, Lord, I thank you so much that you are a God who hears your children. I thank you, God, that you are our salvation, that you take me out of the darkness and you have placed me into the light because of your son, Jesus. I can say, please help me to wait patiently for you. Please forgive me for the ways that I am so quick to do things in my own sufficiency, thinking that I am able. But Lord, you are the one who is able. You are the one who makes us able. So we praise you for that. So that is just an example of how you could pray one or two stanzas.
I was thinking your opening prayer sounded like you were praying.
I'm gonna put a timer for about 7 minutes.
103.
Yes.
Is this kind of like popcorn prayer?
16, 46, 76, 106, 136.
You don't have to tell me more than that. Maybe we can just say like what we would say.
Is this
kind of
like popcorn prayer?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So as we're reading the passage, is there something we want to pray over? We mention that?
Or
is there something we want to pray over?
Yeah, you can each read a verse, and then
I'm going to pray.
So here's what I just thought. Link it as a narrative and not something specific.
Well, you know us.
So God is a very present. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Lord, be with those individuals in Libya that you can disappear from the flood. This is a world trouble. This is not ours, but we pray for those people that they'll be able to find those that are missing. So that was the thought that I had. Well, we all have our own problems, but I was trying to make it so for us to understand what you were asking us to do. So
God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help them.
I'm using the ESV. What translation is yours?
Thank you.
pray that you help us to be diligent about each of those in our prayer time, that they will have this hope to be
Okay, you guys ready to get to the next method?
Yes.
So the next method is personalizing and inserting your neighbor's name. So here we're going to go through a few of Paul's prayers and insert our neighbor's name. So I will give this to you as a group. You guys can pick which one. Okay, so this method is something that you can implement easily. It doesn't have to be out of Paul's. I just made it easy to where you can easily break it down. But you can pray and insert your name or a friend's name anytime in Scripture. This one will take 5 minutes.
I remember what song was that first, but I remember what song was that. And I just it was while we were studying. And I think it was on
completed with that? Looks like it. Okay. The next one is new.
So does everybody have like a life verse, a verse that speaks to them? In this season, maybe?
There's a reason for
Don't eat them all.
He's going to be for our next one, that she's going to be solo. We're going to be meditating on scripture. And so meditating on scripture, the word meditating is ruminating. I'm trying not to touch them, so that's why you get four.
Oh wait, I didn't get your
body. Okay, so to meditate means to ruminate or to chew on, which gives a great picture of how a cow regurgitates food. But I decided to give you guys a much better image of you have lemon drops, and so you'll suck on that lemon drop as thinking about a particular verse or a passage. So I gave you flashcards if you want to write down a verse that has been really speaking to you. I have an example in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Or you can do, is it 1 Timothy 1:7, where God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. Or another one like, God keeps those in perfect peace for those who keep their mind fixed on it. That's something that you can think about. One, I'm sure you guys can't read it over there, but we'll start by asking God to teach us about the verse. So what does this mean, Lord? Will you please teach us? Isolate each word individually. So for example, the Lord, you can have, what is the Lord? The Lord, I was going to say, is my great shepherd, but the Lord is my rock. He is my comforter. He is the one that keeps me. He is the one that brought me to himself, brought me out of, like you read earlier, out of the miry bog. And so however you want to run with that. So you'll isolate each word individually, think about them, and then go to the next word in your verse, and then just add them together. But then you can also ask Jesus personal application questions. So for example, for the Lord is my shepherd, am I letting you shepherd me, Lord? Forgive me for wandering into other pastures. Forgive me for thinking that I need more. For you say, I shall not want. And so it can just really, you can really sit with that for a while. So it is an example of how to meditate on scripture without constantly needing to be doing something. Just with meditating on scripture, I feel like we understand scripture with our mind so many times, and then something happens. We just get this disconnect of, why am I not feeling this in my heart? What is this hindrance in my heart that's not connecting me to this verse? Why am I not feeling this? Not that everything's about feeling, but I'm not personalizing the scripture. So you can even ask the Lord, what are blockages? Why am I not believing in this? Am I not trusting in it? Am I not walking in it? So those are just ways that we can meditate on scripture. So go ahead and do that and this will be done solo. So you don't need to tell your neighbor all what's going on in your heart. You can just tell the Lord. But using the lemon drop, which was Amanda Boyd's idea, I was like, all right, we'll go with it.
Amanda Boyd didn't give me the lemon drop either.
You can have all the lemon drops.
What exactly do you want to write down on the card? The verse?
So if you would, yes, the verse. And so whatever one you would like.
Thank you.
question.
How was that for you guys? Is it difficult?
We don't have to chew on it.
Like a cow. Great job. Okay, so the next one we're not going to implement. But the next one is pleading promises. So pleading promises is a powerful form of prayer because we serve a covenant-keeping God. So we must first know them, know God, then trust them, and lastly, wait on them. God's timing is always perfect. So faith is not just believing in God. It is believing God. Taking God at His word, because you know down deep in your bones that God will always do what He said. That His speaking is His doing. So that is one, and my favorite verse. It's got me through a lot of hard times. We don't always have the answers, like Judy Wixon was saying. Isaiah 30. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So that rest and that confidence is in the Lord. So we should know God's word. We should trust it. We should wait on it. Having this confident assurance. And that's faith, right? Faith isn't, oh, I know what's going to happen next, so I believe God. Faith is, I know God's going to get me through this. I don't know how He will, but I know He will. I don't know when He will, but I know He will. So I gave you a sheet on promises. Now, there are so many promises in the Bible. And so that is something that is helpful if you're going through something and you just continue to plead that promise. I'm going to trust in you because your word says this. Your word never comes back void. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So for every burden, every need, every answer, there is a promise. They are the very truths that we can cling to. Matter of fact, they're the only truths that we can cling to. Being single, sometimes women are like, oh, the Lord's going to give you a husband. Oh, the Lord, you know. And I'm like, I don't take it personally, but that's not promised me in the Bible. It's not promised that I'm going to bear children in the Bible. There are promises of spiritual children. There are promises of generations. But I don't read that the Lord's going to give me. So that is an example. So what is set in stone is what we can plead to. That's what we can cling to. So that concludes our practices. How'd you guys feel about the Psalms one? Praying the Psalms.
Good. All of this was good. Because I've never thought of any of it. Really helpful.
The internet.
Lindsay. Yeah, I felt like with the Psalms, my brain doesn't wander as much. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm ever lazy, I'll just go on a prayer walk and I'll pray one of the Psalms. And that is Donald Whitney is a new one for me. So, wanting to pray a Psalm a day, that's very doable. And it's not like you don't finish the whole thing, the Lord's going to be like, well, you didn't finish that Psalm. You know, so it's just, it just keeps my mind from wandering. My mind can wander so much in praying. You know, it's like, oh, what's that to-do list?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It works even harder in front of people.
Right? And so I wanted to share also, one of my friends, Tony, you know how us Christians will do, how can I be praying for you this week? You know, that happens all the time. So she asked me a few weeks ago, how can I be praying for you this week? And I sent her, you know, my prayer request. And she sent me back, this is what the scripture I'm praying for you. Mm-hmm. And I was... Lord, I have never heard of that, and I felt the most loved by a friend in a while. Like, just, you were praying this scripture for me? This is the sweetest thing. So, right? And so, when our friends, so now I'm going to encourage you to think about an attainable goal, something that you would like to put to practice. How can this change you? So, if you have, if you have an acronym you pray for or a prayer list, I brought copies of prayer lists, you can add scripture to that. Or if you pray for someone's salvation, you can add scripture to that. You can pray, this is a new one, I have yet to do this. You can pray 1 Corinthians 13 on how to love and insert your name. Mm-hmm. That one seems...
Did you memorize all that? I mean, like... I'm
sorry, I didn't interrupt. 1 Corinthians 13?
But not all the, like you said, a bunch.
Oh,
you're reading it.
So to love like that, so I have that on a scripture card, and I try to, because I work with 3-year-olds.
You know.
I need to love them. And not withhold, you know, not hold them against, like, anything they've done against me. Them. So you can also pray the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. But like I was sharing with Tony, you can pray a spiritual prayer that I gave the Paul's prayers or anything over a friend that's just having a hard time, that's overwhelmed. Like, how can we encourage? We could just put their name in this. Lord, may you give Miriam the spirit of wisdom and in revelation and knowledge of you, that they may know you. I don't have that memorized, obviously. But in the process of that, you are memorizing scripture. And in the process of that, you are attuning your hearts to the Lord. So God's mind and God's words are so much broader than our own perspective. And he will prompt you through the Bible to pray with an awareness for things that go beyond the same old things. So that concludes our session. I think we have a few minutes to get over there. But is there anything, any questions or anything you guys want to share? Like, were you encouraged by your friends praying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just came from the importance of memorizing scripture section, which, like, I intentionally chose these two because I knew that they would work together.
Cool.
But you can just see that if we have that scripture memorized, mm-hmm. then we can easily pray it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also pray for people, like, right on the spot mm-hmm. with that scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I just got one because I needed a kick in the pants on the memorization.
Thank you. For real.
But yeah. You can see how if we know God's word, how it can benefit us and bless others.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we have that sword, you know, that's so easily able to, and you know you're praying in God's will, unless you take scripture out of context. But something I really like about the spiritual armor, I'm really excited to hear how that class went, but something I like is a lot of the spiritual armor is personally for you, like the helmet of salvation. I can't give that to somebody else. Like the breastplate of righteousness, not mine to give, you know, talk to Jesus. But the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith are stuff that I can help my friends and family and believers in Christ. I can help shield them from the flaming darts of the enemy. Right? Oh, hey, you're believing a lie right now, you know. And so with that scripture, you can say, actually, the word of God, in a loving way, you know, not to cut them down, but in a loving way, like, you know, this is, I think you're believing either, you know, the enemy or... Maybe you're hurt from, you know, you can talk truth to them. So I love that those are weapons that we can use for our brothers and sisters for our this fight that we are doing together. Okay. All right, I'll close with some prayer. How are you?
So worthy.
What?
I said, how fitting.
I should have had...
Sorry.
I did not. God, I just thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you that we do not go without our sword or our spirit, Lord, or the shield, Father, that you arm us every single day, Lord, and help us to fix our eyes on you, Lord. Help us to take our eyes off our circumstances, Lord, to always be fixed on you, God, and help us to have grateful hearts always, seeking you and wanting to know your ways, Lord. I pray that we would... I thank you that you are our anchor, that you are our truth that we can cling to, that we can cling to your word of life, that we may walk every step in a manner pleasing to you, God. So I just ask that as we close this day, Father, that you would take the things that we are learning, that you would bring them to memory by the Holy Spirit, Father, and we would implement them to walk more in a worthy manner for you, Lord, for your kingdom, and that we may shine for your kingdom, Lord, that others would know you from and we would bear much fruit from the seeds that have been planted today, Lord. I thank you, and I just ask that you are glorified in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.